Welcome to the Christian Bible Church Podcast, where the weekly preaching ministry of the Christian Bible Church can be heard. For more information about the Christian Bible Church, please visit us on our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us.
Let's take our Bibles this morning to the prophecy of Jeremiah. It is my favorite Old Testament prophet. We're going to look at chapter 2 and verse 13. It's 588 in the, what I would say, the Pew Bible, under your chair, 588. Jeremiah was a very sensitive prophet. If you have Jeremiah 2, if you just skip over to Jeremiah 9, verse 1, and here's an interesting prayer of the prophet. He says in 9 verse 1, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." When I was starting out in the ministry, I was told I should develop thick skin. And that, for some reason, I don't remember now, yesterday at the men's breakfast, that topic came up, and I said, well, that is one thing I've never been able to do. And so that's why I love Jeremiah. He's often called the weeping prophet. And he wrote the book of Lamentations, which is a lament for his people. So page 588, Jeremiah 2, verse 13. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and their second evil, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Father, we thank you that we have a gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that one that delivers us from this present evil age. We are no longer part of this world. We're no longer going to be subject to the condemnation and the judgment of this world. We have been delivered out, and it all by grace, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this morning that you would bless the word of God, that it would stir our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jeremiah was called as a prophet, we read that in chapter 1. He was a very young individual. He was 20 years old when he was called to prophesy. And chapter 2 is his first message given to Judah, the two southern tribes that were remaining in the land. The 10 northern tribes had already been taken captive by Assyria. And the Jews are now on the verge, these last two tribes are right now on the verge of going into Babylonian captivity. And God called Jeremiah to warn his people of this coming judgment. And as you read through the book of Jeremiah, it's interesting that there are no converts. And for 40 years, he ministered to these Jews in Jerusalem. And at the end of those 40 years, King Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem, took the Jews captive. And Jeremiah was given the choice to go to Babylon or to follow the exiles who went to Egypt. And Jeremiah chose to go to Egypt. And for 20 more years, he ministered to the Jews in Egypt, and there, about 80 years old, he would have died. During the day in which Jeremiah ministered and lived, it was a day of trouble, of uncertainty, complexity, chaos, trouble, and it was all caused by a moral and spiritual decline. And in his first message that God gave to Jeremiah, you notice in verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying." And so what Jeremiah is saying in chapter 2 is directly from the mouth of God. It is the word of God. And in verse 13, Jeremiah is telling the Jews exactly why they are in trouble, why judgment is going to fall upon them, and why things were as they were. You notice he says, here's the reason why all this trouble has befallen you. He says in verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken. Now that is an interesting Hebrew word. They have forsaken. It is a word that means to leave behind. Now if you ever travel or go anywhere and you've forgotten something, you've left something at home, I know we've done this, we turn around and get it. It's important. We've left it behind. But the word here, you have forsaken. You have left behind. It is without care. It is without concern. It is without alarm. They have left behind the God of heaven. You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, when we look at this verse, I think it's easy for us to make an application to our own day and our own society. We certainly live in a very similar day as Jeremiah. We live in a day of trouble, a day of calamity, a day of uncertainty, a day of unrest. And why is it? What is the cause? Why is society and the world the way it is? Well, Jeremiah tells us, you have committed two evils. You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and you have hewn for yourselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. And what Jeremiah presents here before us is two ways to look at life, two ways to face life, two ways to understand life, and he sets them before us. Here is one way. It is the fountain of living water. The second way is this broken cistern. And this is how it's always been. From the beginning in the book of Genesis, there has always been two ways, two possibilities, two choices. There is only two. There is no more. There is the way of Cain or the way of Abel. There is the way of God or the way of man. It's either God or mammon. It is building your life on the rock or building your life on the sand. It is light or darkness. It is coming in through the narrow gate, or it is being on the broad road that leads to destruction. The Bible is clear. There are only two ways to approach life, to understand life, to live life. We either live it man's way or we live it God's way. We live it man's way. What is the result? We look around us. What is the result? Look at society. Look at people. They are miserable. They are unhappy. They are empty. They are searching. They are looking for something. Something to satisfy their soul. Or you go to the fountain of living water. And what do you have? You have contentment and happiness, satisfaction, and blessing. What I'd like to do this morning, as we look at this prophecy of Jeremiah, is to look at this choice, man's way or God's way, and to look at some philosophical questions that whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, people ask these questions. So we want to look at five philosophical questions that people are asking and people are considering and thinking about. So the first question, it's a very deep and profound question, philosophical question. The first one is this: why am I here? Now, let's consider it in regard to the false way, the broken cistern, a cistern that can hold no water. Now, in Jeremiah's day, there was a dry spell between May and September. And so before the rainy month started in October, they would dig these cisterns. They were hand dug, and they were either dug in bedrock in which to hold rainwater, or they were dug in earth and then sealed with plaster, and all that attempt to hold water. But what they found with these cisterns is whether it's in bedrock or whether it's in earth and covered in plaster to make it watertight, at some point the rock would crack, the plaster would crack, and all the water would seep out. And so this is the comparison. So let's answer this question. Why am I here? What does man say? What is man's way in answering this question? Well, it is this, that we are here by a product of evolution. Now, simply put, evolution is this, that billions of years ago, there was this massive, huge, dense fireball that exploded. It is the Big Bang Theory. And when this big fireball exploded, and it, as it went out, this is what forms all the planets and stars and galaxies. And then over billions of years, on what we know now as Earth, that pools of water formed. And in these pools of stagnant water formed a one-cell amoeba. And out of this amoeba, in this pool of water, came fish, then birds, and reptiles, and mammals, and ultimately the human being. All a product of evolution. Now, I read yesterday online, I thought it was very interesting, that they've now discovered how man has developed this nervous system, where we can control our muscles through this nervous system. That they've discovered now that our nervous system has developed out of a sea slug, because it has these primitive neurons. You see, this is man's way of understanding why I am here. I am here because I'm just a product or a byproduct of evolution, of chance, random selection, survival of the fittest. That is man's understanding. What does the Bible say? Well, we turn to the first book of the Bible, the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God. A declaration of the person of God, the existence of God. Moses does not try to explain where God came from or reasons to believe in God, proofs of his existence. No, he just makes a statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then chapter 1 continues that God created man in his own image. He created them male and female. In Psalm 19, verse 1, there David says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament declares this design that he has. So here's the choice. We understand it man's way. I'm here by accident, by chance. I'm a product of evolution. Or I am here because God created me. God wanted me on this earth. God planned my birth, my existence, and that's why I am here. In Psalm 139, verse 14, there David said, I will praise you, For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, wonderfully. Those words mean that when you consider the creation of the human body, that it is something that inspires awe and wonder. You think about the human body. You look at the human body, and on one side you have evolution, on the other side you have God creating a man, male and female. Now you think about just the miracle of sight, the cones and rods. We see not just black and white, we see in color. And did you know that when you see, the image is upside down, but the in your eye, it turns it right side up. It's a miracle. Now, are we to believe this is a design of God? Or are we to believe that this is the result of chance and random selection and evolution over billions of years? You think of hearing, that we have the eardrum, and in the middle ear we have three bones, the anvil, the hammer, and the stirrup. And sounds come in and they vibrate, and we can hear words. It is a miracle. That's why David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You think of the human heart. Do you have to stop and think, I got to keep my heart beating? No. We don't think about breathing. No, this is what God has done. You think how many gallons of blood every day the heart pumps and it pumps and it pumps. Is this a product of evolution? Now, you think about the human body. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. The human body, when you think about its design and how it all functions together and all the parts are necessary, this could not just have evolved over time. It had to come into existence whole and complete at once. So you look at the evidence. Do we believe in evolution? Or do we believe in the creation of God? Why am I here? The second question that is often asked is, what is my purpose in life? What am I to do with my life? What's my purpose? Well, those who lean toward evolution, believe in evolution, would say this. Life has no meaning. Life has no purpose. We are here by random chance, random selection. So we are to give our life to pleasure, to possessions, to riches. We are to offer all the pleasures and things that this earth can afford. We are to just give ourselves over to whatever is our inclination or whatever our desire is. And you look at people. You look at people who have given their lives to pleasure and to riches and to fame. They are miserable. They are unhappy. They're searching and they're seeking and they're empty. In John 4, we had alluded to this earlier, where Jesus said to the woman at the well, whoever drinks of this water, the cistern, a life without God, pursuit of riches and pleasures. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, because it leaves you empty. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst again. Because the water that the Savior gives is satisfying. It's a fountain of living water. Now, are we to believe that there is no purpose or meaning in life? Or we look at the true way. If I believe I am here because I am a unique and special creation of God, then I have a purpose and meaning in life. And what is that? It is to walk in fellowship with God, to live every day in the presence of God, to live a life that is pleasing to God, a light that is honoring to God. A third question that is often asked is this: how do I face life? We all know this, that life is hard and difficult. Things come into our life, disappointment and hardship. How am I to face life? Well, there are those who say this: I cannot believe in a God who allows suffering and pain. I can't believe in a God who allows disease and death, people to suffer needlessly, or children who are born with cancer or disease. I can't believe in innocent suffering. He allows babies to die. How can I believe in a God like this? And so they turn their back on God. They either become an atheist, agnostic. They never acknowledge this kind of God. You see, the problem with this kind of thinking is this, is that we have finite minds, and people want to create a God that they can know and understand, a God that has every explanation in life. And what they're doing is this, is they are bringing God down to their level, a God to their making, a God to their liking, a God that they can understand. Everything that God does, I have to know why. I need an explanation. I need a reason, or I'm not going to believe in this God. See, that's the false way. I'll turn my back on God. As soon as I don't understand anything about God, what he does, I'm going to turn my back on God. Well, Jeremiah, he was told that he is going to have opposition in his life. He had a life of suffering. He had a life of persecution. He had a life of loneliness. He was a prophet that was told by God, don't take a wife because of the things that you're going to suffer and endure. Jeremiah didn't understand everything about God, but yet he followed God. He obeyed God. You see, I would rather have a God who understood me than a God that I could understand. You look at verse 5, chapter 1. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's a very special word, I knew you. Now, there's one way we can know people. We can know facts about people. We can look at history and dates and look at people, but we don't know them intimately and personally. But this is what this word is. I knew you. I knew you personally and intimately. Everything about Jeremiah, God knew. All the ins and outs of his life. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, there God says to the prophet Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. See, we have infinite or a finite mind. How do we grasp an infinite God who is infinite in wisdom, who is sovereign, who acts according to his will? I want a God, even though I don't understand, I want a God who knows me and understands me and knows the needs that I have in my life. A fourth question people ask is this: where am I going? In the Bible, we're presented two alternatives. Where are people going to spend eternity? It is either heaven or hell. Where am I going? What happens to me when I die? Well, there are those who think that when I die, it's just like an animal. I'm just buried and that's the end of me. No, the Bible tells us we have an immortal soul. It goes on forever. Where am I going? There are some who think that if I want to go to heaven, it's all up to me. It's all what I have to do. It's the works that I do, everything that I accomplish. I have to follow certain rites and rituals and ceremonies. I have to follow the teaching and the instruction of the church. If I want forgiveness, if I want to go to heaven, it's all gained by what I do. But this is a cistern, and it holds no water. It is man's doing, and it falls short. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, here's the problem with this kind of thinking is this. What do I do when my conscience bothers me? What do I do when I feel guilty before God? How many works do I have to do? How many prayers do I have to recite? How often do I have to go to church in order to rid myself of a guilty conscience that condemns me before a holy God? See, that's the false way. That is man's way. But thank God there is a true way that is offered to us, and it is offered by God himself. It's not based upon what I have done, but it's based upon what God has done for us, that God loves me in spite of the fact that I am a sinner, in spite of the fact that I have violated the law of God, I have violated the holiness of God, that God, in spite of my sin, no matter how black, how foul my sin is, God still loves me, and God has made a provision for me, and that is he sent his son to this earth to die for us, taking our sin upon himself on the cross, dying in judgment in my place. And when we believe this, that is how we are saved, born again. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Acts 16, when the Philippian jailer feared for his life, he turned to Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, the answer of Paul is critical. It is the only answer. Paul didn't turn to the Philippian jailer, this Roman soldier, and says, you know, you're not very religious. You know, you believe in many gods. You're polytheistic. You don't honor the God of the Jews, the God of the Bible, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you've got to do. You've got to do certain things to make yourself pleasing to God, acceptable to God. No, Paul never said such a thing. He said, believe. Put your trust and your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. See how simple it is. Christ died for you. It's all done. It's all finished. Jesus says on the cross, it is finished. The work of salvation is done. All we have to do is to believe it and to receive it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The last question people ask is this: what is my hope? What does the future hold for me? What lies beyond tomorrow? And here we can look at man's way and we can look at God's way. We can look at the cistern that holds no water, it's broken, or we can look at the fountain of living water. So let's look at the false way. The false way says this: yes, the world is in trouble. The world has great problems and difficulties. There's so much wrong with things, but you know, if only a good leader would be elected or come into office, if we just had the right person, they'll straighten things out. But you know, that's man's way. That's man's way of thinking. And what we fail to see is this, is that the world, society is looking for an ideal man. Someone to straighten things out. But it comes down to this, that ideal person is still a man. And it is man that has caused all the problems that we see today. It's man's failure. It is because what Jeremiah said, they have forsaken the fountain of living water. And they have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. You look at the moral confusion today, the gender confusion today. You know, we have people in government office. You know, they can't define who a woman is. You try to go to school and you say, I believe in two genders. What's going to happen to you? You see, you're going to be blasted. We live in such a dark age, such a confusing age, and this is all man's doing. And man is the problem, and man is not the answer. But thank God that we have something beyond man to hope for. We don't put our hope in a man. We have put our hope in the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 3, I will come again. In Acts 1, 11, there the angels said to the apostles as they watched the Lord Jesus Christ ascend into heaven, as he ascended into the clouds and he was covered by the clouds, the angels said to these disciples, you men of Galilee, why do you stand there gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus, this Jesus that was crucified with the nail prints, the side that was struck with a spear, the scars, this same Jesus, the one that died on the cross, the one buried, the one rose again, the one now ascending, this same Jesus will so come in like manner as you have seen him go up. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, there Paul says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Or you take the book of Revelation, chapter 11. The kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You see, we're not looking for some man to fix the problems of this earth, because no one ever will. We are looking for the Son of Man who is going to return and set up a kingdom that is perfect in every way, wherein dwells peace, joy, and righteousness. Let me ask you this morning, where is your hope? What are you looking for? What are you hoping for? We put our hope in God himself. And you may think this is awful old and antiquated. This is a bygone era. You talk about the Bible and hymns and this kind of thing. No, this is so relevant. This is still our hope. We don't look for a world that's going to be reformed. We're looking for a world when Jesus comes that's going to be transformed, a new heaven and a new earth. See, where do you stand? It's man's way or God's way? You go man's way, you're going to be disillusioned, disappointed, searching, empty, longing. You go God's way. Here's where true satisfaction is. Fulfillment, contentment, happiness in life, purpose in life. You know, our whole soul in eternity determines by which way we go, man's way or God's way. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from this present evil age. God, no matter how bad things are, how bleak, how dark, how hopeless, how confusing, may we as Christian people still rejoice in our hope We have a living hope, a blessed hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Bible Church podcast. Have questions? Visit our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us to contact us. Feel free to subscribe to receive new podcasts automatically. Until next time, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.